knowledge fight.
And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk just a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan!
Jordan.
Quick question.
What up?
You. What's your bright spot today?
You go first.
My bright spot, Dan, is I-9 has finally followed me on Twitter.
Hey, great. The great rapper I-9?
Yeah, our friend and the very talented rapper I-9.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
What he told me was that when we went to see the show with him and Far Out.
Yeah, over at North here in Chicago.
He and I talked about Avatar.
Mm-hmm. The Last Airbender. Mm-hmm.
And I recommended it highly. And he decided that he would not follow me on Twitter until he had seen Avatar.
Ah.
So 2 years later,
sure,
here we are.
Hey, congratulations to you on the follow, and yes, congratulations to I-9 on seeing Avatar.
Yeah, exactly.
I have yet to watch Avatar The Last Airbender, so I'm going to unfollow you.
Thank you.
Yep,
that's a good idea.
That's what we're going to do.
I didn't even know you were following.
Yeah, you do.
I don't think
because my account is the show's account.
No.
I
know.
So here's my bright spot, Jordan, is actually a nice intersection of both the mailbag and the year of the so we got a nice little piece of mail. You might notice that there's nothing on the table here, and that's
no, there
because
is not.
I drank it
you
already.
Drank it all already.
This was from Anthony. He sent some seltzers from Michigan.
Okay.
There's a little brand called Nomi, N-O-M-I. And I was particularly in a funk yesterday, and I needed something.
Yeah.
And thankfully, those came in the mail, and I drank all six of them. So I needed to try and find something that was just like, I need something that's just,
right,
just spectacular.
Right. You're not a binge drinker, so it's got to be something.
Well, I am.
Exactly.
Binge drink seltzers. and you know what I'll say? I'll say that nothing was like really top of the mountain peak,
sure,
but everything was really good.
Just good.
Yeah, everything is coming in between 68 and 75.
That's
out
good.
Of 100.
That's
all
really
six
good.
Of them. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Highlight is probably the lime. Spectacular. Mm-hmm. That was at 75.
Okay.
Low light grapefruit, 68.
You hate grapefruit.
Yeah. Not. Yeah, I do.
You do.
There are three flavors that were Michigan cherry related. There was Michigan cherry lime, Michigan cherry lemon, and then just straight up Michigan cherry. I don't know what the difference between a Michigan cherry and another cherry is. But they were all fine.
Oh, nothing. It's like champagne. Everything not made outside of the Michigan region is a cherry.
Right.
Yeah.
And then if it's in Michigan, it's a Michigan cherry.
Yeah, yeah. It's champagne.
I could have looked into this and figured out what the difference is, but I did not really care. But thank you so much, Anthony. It did brighten my day, and I was thrilled to get to the end of the evening and realize I just drank all six of these. What the fuck is wrong with me? Also, while we're on the subject of seltzers, I want to say something really quick.
Sure.
I'm getting to the point now where I'm starting to realize that there's certain things that I'm learning about seltzer.
Okay.
And one of the things is...
It's carbonated water.
I don't know really exactly how to say this, but here's what I want to say.
Yeah.
Strawberry is pretty much always good.
Mm-hmm.
Almost, you can go get one of these like weird brands, these off brands at the dollar store.
Sure.
And the strawberry seltzer is probably going to be okay.
It's tough to fuck up a strawberry.
Yes. There are other flavors that are not.
Grapefruit.
Cucumber.
Cucumber? You don't like cucumber?
Well, I don't trust you. If you're some like grocery store brand, I don't trust you to fuck around with cucumber. Leave that to the pros.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not, there's such a broad range. There's like, okay, maybe this cucumber something is going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yours, Good and Gather, Target brand.
Sure.
Don't.
Sure,
don't do
sure,
it.
Sure,
don't
sure.
try.
You're not ready for it.
No.
Yeah. You got to work.
Yes. You're putting on airs and you shouldn't. stick to these ones that are safe, like a strawberry. Cranberry is almost impossible to fuck up.
Like Target brand caviar. That's what the problem is. Don't mess with it, Target. It's not for you.
And like some of these other ones that I'm really enjoying, some of these flower themed ones or tea. Mm. Like I would bet the Target would fuck those up too.
Oh, for sure.
Don't do it. Mm-mm. Stick to the shallow water where you belong. Raspberry is fine too. That's right. Almost universally good.
Right.
These basic berry flavors you can handle. Leave it to the pros.
You can't trust McDonald's with a steak. Don't do it.
You're finding a lot of ways to say exactly what I'm trying to say, and I appreciate it. You've synthesized it quite well. So, Jordan, today we got an interesting episode to go over. We're going over June 29th and 30th, 2020. This is now my autonomous zone.
Yeah!
We have some troubling things that happen here on this episode, sure. And we also see the long-awaited return of a rat fucker.
Oh, boy. I knew he was coming back.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I knew he was fucking coming
Very boring reappearance.
How but dare he?
We will get to Roger Stone making his triumphant return, like Napoleon returning from Elba. But before we do that, Jordan, we've got to say thank you to some folks who have signed up and are supporting the show. So first, Dominic, you. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Dom.
Thank you. Next, Ryan M. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Rye.
Next, Kriston L-O. Two initials. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Chris.
Next, Jessica. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Jess.
Next, Jake S. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Jay. I was trying to cut off the last syllable of everyone.
Ja? Maybe.
Okay.
Next, Tony N. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Tone.
And then I'd like to say thank you to somebody who donated on Elevated Love. We appreciate that very much. So, Pavel, thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate. That's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right? Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why are you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large. I declare info war on you.
Thanks so much, Pavel.
Yes, thank you very much, Pav.
If you're out there listening and you feel like you enjoy the show and like to support what we do, you can do that by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, clicking the button that says support the show, or you can take that generosity and redirect it towards a charity in your area, helping people in need. That would also be wonderful.
Yes, we would appreciate either.
Indeed. So, Jordan, end of the month, end of June.
End
Tuesday,
of June.
Monday and Tuesday, coming in hot.
Got to close out strong.
Coming into July, got to have a clean slate
Totally.
Or something. I don't know. I'm just saying words.
Yeah.
Here's an out-of-context drop from how this episode sort of winds up. This is the This comes from the end of the 30th.
Okay.
This has been one of the most powerful broadcasts we've ever did. Absolutely jam-packed. And I feel empty and pathetic.
Great.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
I love it when I feel like I've done the best job possible and I feel like an empty, pathetic fraud.
You know that sense of accomplishment you receive whenever you're really mm-hmm. doing God?
Like
you
high
know,
level work?
What's your avocation, your calling.
Yeah.
It makes you feel pathetic.
Empty.
Yeah.
So we start here on the 29th, and Alex gets to talking, and man, this doesn't sound good. Like this, if I were just like looking at this organization from like not knowing anything about Alex
sure.
or his troubles or InfoWars or anything, if I heard him say this, I would probably think like this doesn't bode well.
At InfoWars.com, NewsWars.com, and of course Band.video, and then the great site Paul has, Summit.news, and David Knight's launching a site. Owen Schroyer's launching a site, their own independent sites, as InfoWars metastasizes in the globalist view.
That's not metastasizing,
no.
buddy.
I mean, that's one way to look at it, but
sure.
it also looks to me like people jettisoning life rafts.
It does look like there's a sinking ship the rats are trying to run away from.
Well, because like... Paul is an interesting case because he has his own sort of unique fan base and he's still on other places where he
right.
can disseminate his videos and, you know, kids seem to be drawn to his whiny face and the quick cuts.
I
and
guess.
If you have a low attention span, he's doing all this like,
it
cuts really fast. It keeps you from getting too bored.
Yeah.
But like David Knight and Owen Schroyer are less popular than InfoWars.
Oh, yeah.
Paul, you could make an argument, is bigger than InfoWars. So he having his own thing kind of makes sense.
Right.
For David Knight and Owen Schroyer to have diminishing returns by creating their own properties or their own entities,
yeah,
that seems like a bad plan.
Yeah, that's not going
to
go well.
Yeah, just it seems to me like...
I feel like you can just figure out from the number of views on band.fucking video, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You just look at the difference in views and you're like, you're not going to build this on your own, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Especially not with that. Like, you've already been banned from, like, yeah, Twitter exactly. And all this stuff. Like, you're not going to... Owen's not going to be able to...
No. Don't worry about it. I've got my own site now. I'm not with InfoWars. Please allow me back on Twitter.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck, Cuck Destroyer.
Yeah.
So Alex gets to talking about how, you know, this is going to be there's a civil war going on, right? And
sure.
It's been cold and it's getting
hot.
It's been getting hot for quite a while.
Several years now.
This might as well be a like the slowest of slow cookers.
I'm pretty
You're
sure.
You're going for some kind of a weird like 7-day chili.
Yeah.
in terms of heating up this cold war.
Sure.
And then I'm going to get into the civil war that's now actually going from cold to hot and the moves I believe we should make to stop it, and I believe the president should make to stop it. But let me just first tell you this. Roger Stone is breaking his silence. He's done a few interviews. He was going to wait to come on my show exclusively after big events that are going to take place, we believe. But he's decided to just go ahead and break his silence, and he's going to break major news here tomorrow.
Allow me to decode that.
Sure.
Roger expected to be pardoned by now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is, he was going to come on after he got a pardon.
Yep.
And that has not happened. And he has to go to jail in 2 weeks.
Really expecting to be pardoned.
So now he's going to come on the show and desperately beg for a pardon.
Oh, yeah.
So that's basically what's happening
right.
There. And there's really not much more substance to it than that.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Please.
No,
please!
Totally. Totally. I mean, without spoiling anything, Rogers, almost his entire appearance is just like campaigning for Trump.
Sure.
And selling himself as like, if I don't have to go to prison, I will be one of the most powerful tools to getting Trump
reelected.
Of course.
I can be valuable to you.
It's brilliant.
He's doing worm tongue.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you should do if you're Roger.
Yeah, totally.
Make a media tour where you're talking about how much you can help Trump mm-hmm. if you don't go to prison.
Yeah.
And
flatter the man as much as possible.
100%.
Make it seem like people will take you seriously again, mm-hmm. which they won't.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there's two things that Alex talks most of this show about, this 29th, June 29th show. And he gets into the first story here.
Okay. The best way to do this is just try to go over the headlines. We were facing an angry mob. Gun-toting St. Louis couple tell their side of the story. That's Zero Hedge. Can you believe that these people have to tell their side of the story? Black Lives Matter go into their private estate, open the gate.
Nope.
It says private estate at the gate and inside. And you know what Black Lives Matter does? They burn things down. Then they say, after the people say, get off our property with guns, Black Lives Matter says, that's it. We got the money shot.
So these protesters in St. Louis, from what I understand, they were marching down a private street. That is fair enough. This street, Portland Place. But they only did that because the other streets to the mayor's residence had been blocked off. And the point of the protest was to demonstrate at the mayor's house because Mayor Lyda Crewson had, quote, read the names and addresses of people calling for police reform during a Friday afternoon Facebook Live video. The mayor was essentially doxing people, so folks decided that they would protest outside her home and demand her resignation.
Right.
As they walked past this deranged couple's house, they came out with guns to pretend they needed to protect their home. It's all good and well for them to have guns on their property and to stand there as the protest goes by, like that's within their rights.
Mm-hmm.
If they're that paranoid, that's fine. But they did much worse. They were brandishing their weapons, which is to say that the woman had her finger on the trigger and was pointing the gun at people.
Mm-hmm.
That's not cool at all. And given that Alex is someone who pretends to be all about responsible gun ownership, he should know that there's a massive difference between holding a gun safely and waving it around like an asshole. When left-wing protesters were open carrying at a rally that Owen tried to go to, they were accused of pointing the gun at Owen and committing attempted murder, basically. In this case, however, the gun is being pointed at people Alex wants guns pointed at, so he doesn't give a fuck and he supports the person holding the gun. It's that simple. This game is very stupid. Mm-hmm. And he spends a lot of time on this story.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of time.
Oh, yeah.
So he talks about it a little bit more. And I don't know if he knows much about this couple.
But regardless, this is some lawyer. And he's got this big mansion. And he's being called a hero. Well, we looked into the guy. He's actually looks like a Democrat. But when people bust into your house, there's a big mob of 500 people is what it was. You better come out with a gun or you're about to get your house robbed or burned down.
So you can hear here this like people are calling him a hero. I agree with you. I don't know who that is. Maybe some like weird gun people.
Maybe.
It's possible. Mm. But they, what proves that they're not heroes is that they're Democrats.
Right. Right.
All right.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
The couple, their names are Mark and Patricia McCloskey. All I really needed to know about them is that back in 1992, they got into a fight with the Homeowners Association because they were the Homeowners Association was trying to pass this new bylaw which would allow cohabitation in the neighborhood. This was about allowing same-sex couples who couldn't get married at the time to live in the neighborhood, since previously they would have had to be considered roommates, which wasn't permitted by the Homeowners Association. So they were fighting to uphold the anti-cohabitation rule, which was a way of trying to restrict the neighborhood from having same-sex couples in it.
Hold on, Dan. Are you telling me it's possible for a Democrat to also be a bigot? That would be wild.
I don't know if they're actually Democrats. It's not clear from what I was able to find what political party they're registered to. But what I can tell you is that you can prove by consulting the Federal Elections Commission records that they, quote, contributed thousands of dollars to the Trump Make America Great Again Committee, the Republican National Committee, and the Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated.
All right. I think that tells me what I need to know.
It should also be pointed out that they donated to the Bush Quayle campaign in 1992, as the Republican campaigns in 1988, 1996, and 2018.
I think that might say something.
Sounds like a classic Democrat to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That sounds right.
Anyway, fuck this couple, and more importantly, fuck this story.
Yep. Yep.
Alex talks about it so much.
Yeah,
and
of course.
I don't care.
Oh, they're victims.
Now, there's a second story that Alex talks about.
Sure.
Almost the entire episode. To the point where I had to write down a note in my sort of notes that is, he won't stop talking about this. And it seems really weird to me because this is one that I would just like, hey, take the L on this one, Alex.
Sacha Baron Cohen, who says, get rid of Americans' free speech, arrest Alex Jones, a monstrous individual. Who's not even an American, he comes here and says, oh, you're having a Reopen America event. And he says, he didn't tell him it was him. He said, I'm a country singer that wants to reopen America. I'll come pay for an extra stage and some security if you let me sing. He gets there. He starts saying racist stuff. They run up and try to stop him. Armed men stop them so he can frame the crowd.
Frame them.
The goes, oh, you just don't have a sense of humor. Sacha Baron Cohen's so funny. No, he's a false flagging, slimy criminal.
It's a false flag.
False flag.
That was a false flag.
Oh, what a baby.
I really didn't see any people singing along, really fighting back on that.
I watched, there's that 6-minute video that watched of it. No cuts in it or anything.
Nope.
A lot of people singing along.
Oh, yeah.
And cheering for like chopping
up. Nuke China.
Yeah, chopping up journalists and like injecting Fauci and Hillary with the Wuhan flu.
Any number of times any one of those people could be like, excuse me. Anyone, just one.
Mm-hmm.
But the organizers wanted him to stop. I can't think of any reason why.
Well, I mean, like, it's the same thing with a lot of Sacha Baron Cohen's stunts and these pranks are just like they sort of reveal something by the acceptance of what he's doing.
Exactly.
He's doing something that's like, oh, wow, that's awful.
Yeah.
And then people are going along with it.
Yeah.
There's a tacit permission to let this show at a place like a 3%er rally. And Alex should just ignore this, honestly.
I think
this is something that he should probably just be like, all right.
Every time they get caught by hoaxes, they should just be like, bah, and that's it. Everybody will stop. They'll make fun of you for a day, and then the internet moves on.
I mean, it's fascinating how many stories he manages to ignore. You would think that it would just be another. But he talks about this so goddamn much. It's like half the episode.
I can't get foreign liberals over here revealing that my friends are massive racist Nazis.
It's wild.
Yeah.
So I'm only going to play this clip because of what happens on the 30th. This is Alex talking about how pretty much all Democrats are pedophiles.
Sure.
Now. Or at least, I'm sorry, half of them.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice.
I'm telling you, folks, half the Democrats are now pedophiles. Pedophilia is just rampant.
So hold on
to
that.
Which half? The top half or the bottom half?
Hold on to that for later on the 30th.
Sure.
Because Alex has a little bit of a breakdown.
Some people think the Democratic Party is half pedophilia, but I like to think that it's half not pedophiles. You know, it's real optimistic of me.
Yeah. Huh. Sure. So Alex gets pretty racist, starts rambling around about Colin Kaepernick a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. It's just great. Great.
I don't know what he's doing here, man. I got to be honest. I don't know what the point of this is other than expressing racism.
Kaepernick up there, he's for the black people. He's going to stand up for the black people. He's a monster working for globalists to cover up what they've done. He's nothing but a black shield they use to carry out their evil. And he's not even black. Looks like an Arab. He didn't have that afro till he signed with Nike, and they said, "We want you to look like this and do like this. You represent black people now."
You do not understand hair.
The man is a clown. The man is a devil. And not because he's got brown skin, but because his heart is evil. Sorry, I'm not going to go down that path right now.
What path is that?
The I want to kill all black people path?
What is he doing? Alex, can you prove that Nike told Colin Kaepernick to wear his hair in a certain way? Can you prove that? Because I don't know if you can.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're talking shit.
He's got insider information.
Alex, do you know anything about Colin Kaepernick's family of origin? Do you know anything about that?
No.
No, you don't.
No, he has
You're just
no
talking
idea.
Shit.
Yeah.
It's wild to me when bigotries and biases are more compelling to a person than curiosity.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're willing to just scream about something that you could easily check into, and you just don't.
Oh, man. How dare he kneel?
I guess, at the same time, when I'm saying that, I mean, like, you could learn about Colin Kaepernick if you wanted to. Yeah. I'm not positive that it would be all that easy to look into whether or not Nike told him to wear his hair a certain way.
That would be difficult to... are there emails that you could follow up? Is there a FOIA request?
I don't think that's FOIA-able. So, Alex, now, having yelled about Colin Kaepernick in a way that I'm comfortable describing as racist...
Insanely racist.
Now starts... I don't even know how to get into this.
They want that Declaration of Independence.
The globalists.
They want that Bill of Rights. I'm getting chills. They want that Constitution because everybody modeled their governments after that, and people want that worldwide. They have to repudiate that and overturn that because the idea threatens them.
Are you a globalist? Even
Will expressed part of that idea.
Is he a globalist?
We were number one in human freedom, and everybody knows it. And that's why they use a bunch of dumb college dropouts and morons running around attacking people and saying they own everything to try to trigger a civil war. And they finally get a video of some old folks in golf carts being screamed at by other old white people. And they're going, "You're a Nazi, F you," all this stuff. So the old guy goes, "Yeah, right, white power," laughs back at him. Clearly a joke. But everybody's screaming black power all day. Why couldn't he say that? The point is that he's a joke.
Ask yourself that question.
Barely hear it in the clip. Oh, Trump tweeted white supremacism. White supremacism. Give me a break.
Wow.
Wow, you white supremacist. That's insane.
Just compare those two thoughts. The yelling about Kaepernick the way he did.
Uh-huh.
You know, he doesn't even look black. He looks like an Arab.
Yeah.
You know, you got that mentality.
Sure.
And then you compare that with this, that guy yelling white power is clearly
a joke.
And if it wasn't a joke, why shouldn't he say
he
that?
He should be allowed to say that. They say black power. We should be allowed to say white power. If you ask the question, "Why can't I say white power?" you're too far gone.
Yeah.
Or you're four. And if you're four, that's a very easy answer.
So that's pretty interesting. I mean, it's not. It's just a clear demonstration of where Alex's heart is. So we have one last clip from the 29th. There's just not much going on this show. It's a lot of yelling about the St. Louis couple and a lot of complaining about Sacha Baron Cohen.
Straight up racism all day.
So this leads to Alex having an interview with one of the 3%er dudes who ran the show that got pranked.
Right.
and they're just,
we're Nazis. That's fine.
That's not their angle. Oh, their angle is that Sacha Baron Cohen should be arrested.
We got hoaxed, so I'm going to call the cops. These are children!
This is criminal fraud. Sacha Baron Cohen was taken away in an ambulance that he had rented, and therefore this is also fraud of claiming to have a medical condition when he didn't.
Sure.
And so they have this interview, and it's very stupid, and I don't care. But then Alex also has Stuart Rhodes on, along with this 3%er guy.
Great. Just a trio of Nazis.
And he also wants Sacha Baron Cohen arrested.
Of course.
And then it gets really, really gross.
Well, it's a terror campaign. This is what communists do.
So this is Stuart Rhodes talking about the protests that are going on.
Yeah.
It's very much like the black shirts in Italy or the brown shirts in Nazi Germany. Same tactic that was used in Soviet Russia or China. It's intimidation and terrorism. And eventually what they're going to do is they're going to go and start killing people. And their ideology drives them towards that ultimate end. And so when they kill a police family, God forbid, is when it'll be open season on Antifa. Anytime there's even, and Black Lives Matter, when they're seen in the streets, they'll be shot in the streets.
This is absolutely unacceptable, but also very expected from someone as much of an extremist as Stuart Rhodes is. Also, if Stuart's line in the sand is the act of killing police, then he should be declaring open season on people like himself. Damon Gutzwiller of the Santa Cruz Sheriff's Department was ambushed and killed by Staff Sergeant Stephen Carrillo, who proceeded to write the words "Boog" and "I became unreasonable" in his own blood on the hood of a car before being arrested. These are words that have a particular meaning among far-right gun absolutist communities and kind of give an indication of what he was all about. After Carrillo's arrest, he was also charged with the murder of Patrick Underwood, who was that law enforcement officer who was killed in Oakland back on May 29th. And even more recently, there was the case of Private Ethan Melzer, who was charged with, quote, conspiring and attempting to murder U.S. nationals, conspiring and attempting to murder military service members, providing and attempting to provide material support to terrorists, and conspiring to murder and maim in a foreign country. Melzer had sent sensitive information, including unit locations and security measures, to the Order of Nine Angles, which is a European neo-Nazi and white supremacist group. The plan appeared to be for the Nazis to give this information to ISIS-type terror groups who would then carry out the attack. Melzer didn't care if he died in the attack, saying, quote, "Who gives a fuck? It would be another war. I would have died successfully, because another 10-year war in the Middle East would have definitely left a mark." Seems like maybe Stuart should be spending less time fantasizing about how the left is eventually going to start killing cops and realize that he's aligned with people who are doing that sort of thing and worse.
Yeah, but it's okay when they do it because it's tyranny that they're fighting, and cops represent tyranny, but only when they're fighting them.
Cool.
And otherwise, we should call the cops on people who don't look like me.
It's just infuriating.
There's just no way. There's just no way to talk to them.
Not someone like Stuart,
no,
certainly.
You simply can't.
So we get done with the 29th, because I mean, it's so much Sacha Baron Cohen complaining. It's the stuff where my eyes rolled back in my head.
Whiny.
Complaining about, like, this guy who pranked them.
Whiny babies.
Well, and I think one of the problems is because, like, when they have their equivalent of that, it doesn't really play out.
And it doesn't work.
Well, because there are things like Jacob Wall does these stunts, and they always blow up.
Yeah.
They always end up like, this didn't work.
Yeah.
Or, like Alex loves James O'Keefe. All right, whatever.
It's
I don't care.
It's like they have the Dunning-Kruger effect with comedy that like overwhelming.
Well, James O'Keefe isn't trying to do comedy.
No, well, I mean he's a joke. How many times have you seen that white dude at an open mic who's like, obviously I'm funny, and if people aren't laughing,
it's their fault. Right.
So if you don't like this incredibly dumb, stupid, transparent bullshit, well, that's because you're stupid.
Must be. So we get to the 30th, and Alex is very excited to have his old running buddy back around, the one and only Raji Stone.
He's been involved in more presidential elections than any other living advisor since the days of
Richard Nixon, and he's the guy that got Donald Trump to run for office. Breaking his silence right now, the next three segments on this Tuesday edition is Roger Stone facing execution, basically, in a COVID-19-infested jail, supposedly in 2 weeks.
Wait, hold on. Roger Stone is facing a death sentence because of COVID-19, but COVID-19 is a hoax and no one really gets it and it's not that bad.
Exactly.
What is it? What's going on here? You need it to be a death sentence because you need to complain about Roger.
Of course.
And you don't want him to go to prison.
No.
But it's also a fraud and a hoax when people ask you to wear a mask.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Calm down.
Well,
also,
he won't be wearing a mask in prison, that's for sure. Also, even though that would be a death sentence.
Obviously, I think that there are very serious concerns that need to be taken into account with prison populations as it relates to COVID-19. That being said, the place that Roger is being sentenced to has no cases of COVID-19.
No.
And
there's a tennis court.
Exactly.
Yeah.
From what I understand, I read an article that was talking about the health conditions that he has. Obviously, you can't disclose those.
Sure.
But the judge looked into them and they did a review, and his health concerns are all under control and in check. And it's not a danger to his health, particularly in terms of COVID-19, to be put in prison.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, like I said, this interview is really just Roger begging Trump to give him a pardon.
So powerful.
You weren't going to do interviews until whether clemency, pardon, or whatever was going to happen. What made you change the last few days and now be here? You're going to get into 2020, the election. You're warning to Trump coming up in a few segments. But what made you say the gloves are off? Any questions you want to ask? You know, everything's on the table.
Because I'm vitally concerned about the direction of this country. And I think it is incredibly important to reelect the president. I see the way they have destroyed his whole card, the American economy. I see the way our streets are burning under a violent socialist revolution in our streets. And therefore, the sooner I could speak out, the better. I cannot stand the idea that I will either be 6 feet under or incarcerated in October of 2020 when I need to be on the battlefield. That's why I decided to speak out today.
And you told me that in confidence, but now you're just throwing it all to the wind, which I really respect you even more now.
That's the best play he has.
Yeah.
I gotta say, looking at this from a strategy perspective, there's no other move that he would have,
because
he can't come out and be on Alex's show and be like, Trump, what the fuck?
Right.
Give me the pardon.
Right.
You can't do that. That looks bad. But you can say you know, I need to, before I go to prison in 2 weeks, I need to get out here and say, it's going to kill me that I'm not able to be on the front lines fighting for Trump. That's the only thing that makes me mad about having to go to jail.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
It's sad.
I mean, it's not brilliant. It's pretty simple to come up with, but I would, it's for the dicks that Alex hangs out with. That's good thinking.
Yeah. It's sad. It's just sad because it seems like at this point we all have enough knowledge of Trump's psychology to know that what's going on is he's basically forcing Roger to grovel in front of him so he can.
It feels like it.
So then at the last second, he pardons him and it's like, ha ha ha, see, look at how powerful I am. And he's just making what is ostensibly his friend his awful, awful toady subordinate.
But you know, it's also a good pageant too, because now Roger's going around on these weirdo fringe internet shows and InfoWars and doing this whole thing where he's like, you know, I just got to be out there on the front lines fighting for the reelection.
Right.
And then if Trump does end up then pardoning him, it seems like a fulfillment of all of these interviews.
That's fair. That's fair. It makes all of his shows that he went on seem powerful.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a whole game that's being kind of played here. It's pretty. I mean, who cares?
God, somehow I feel like Roger Stone, even if he doesn't get pardoned, is going to rat fuck his way. Like, he's going to find a doppelganger and put his hat on there, tattoo Nixon on his back, and be like, "See, that's me. Get out of there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can pay somebody to do 8 years.
I don't know if he can find someone.
Look,
quite
if Avon
fits
Barksdale
bill.
Can pay somebody to do 8 years, he can pay somebody.
I don't know. So, you know, this is just hey, Trump's awesome. So Roger's talking about how, I recognized early Trump had the goods.
Sure.
But mic down for this, because there's a point where Alex realizes, you're not doing this good enough.
Maybe I was one of the first people, right after former President Nixon, to recognize that Donald Trump had the courage and the bravado and the audacity and the independence and the energy and the stamina and the anti-globalist worldview to be not only a great candidate for president, but a truly great president.
He also had the looks.
He's charismatic.
What? What is that?
don't forget he's a vain piece of shit as well. Hold on one second. Yeah. If you're going to grovel, you better make sure that you're talking about how great the emperor looks with no clothes. Did I say no clothes? I meant he looks great in that vest.
He's got those biceps that are just enviable.
Oh, look at the way his body is at the wrong angle when he stands. It's so powerful. Look at his disgusting face.
That's so amazing. Wow. Like, you know what it is? It's instincts being expressed on Alex's part that are weird.
Yeah.
Because Roger's given this long list of, like, he's got the, he's smart, he's capable, he's powerful, he's independent, he's anti-globalist, and then Alex is like, fucking hot, too.
He looks great. Don't forget, you want to slobber all over his knobber. Come on now, buddy.
It's very strange.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
So they're at loggerheads a tiny bit, because Alex's main reporting and everything he's talking about is like, COVID-19 is no big deal. It's
even though it's a death sentence for Roger.
Well, but that's the thing. It's like, they're kind of at odds a little bit.
Right.
In as much as Alex needs to minimize this, but Roger needs to maximize it because it's his argument for getting out of jail.
You know, he didn't like slowing and killing our economy, but he does have an obligation to protect the public health. And by the way, COVID virus is real. It's dangerous. I know people who have died from it. Members of my family know people who have died from it. This is not a hoax by any means. It is a very real current danger. But at the same time, none of the projections that most of the scientists make panned out.
Well, some of that might be due to human behavioral changes and adaptations. But it's interesting, you know, like you had this position where, you know, he's saying things that are very much against InfoWars, and Alex has to let him, and they have to go along with it.
Yeah.
In the same way that, like, we're living in this a couple days after Alex had G. Edward Griffin on, and Alex said that maybe the globalists wanted Trump to get in because of his deep research about how they just wanted a better deal with China or whatever. That's completely forgotten
now. Nothing matters.
No.
Yeah, tomorrow there won't even be a virus.
No, probably not.
It'll be nothing.
Yep. This clip really interested me.
Okay.
I don't know exactly how to explain it in advance, but there's an intrinsic problem with what Roger is putting forth.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to suggest that the reason that people want him in prison is so he can't appeal, because if he goes to prison, he'll get COVID-19 and he'll die, so he won't be able to appeal his case.
Well, then we are brilliant for thinking that.
Well, this is really dumb.
Why do they want to do this? It's very simple, Alex, because the deep state and Judge Jackson would like me to die in a COVID-infested prison before my appeal is heard a year from now. Because when my appeal is heard, the epic corruption of my trial, of the judge, of her clerks, of the Mueller prosecutors is going to be exposed. And they can't afford that, which is why I've, in essence, for a series of completely fabricated process crimes, I'm essentially getting capital punishment, the death penalty. That's what this is tantamount to. So one of the important things I wanted to do here today is appeal to your audience, to appeal to the president, as a humanitarian act of both mercy and justice, to use his extraordinary powers of clemency so that I can avoid dying in a dank, squalid prison someplace.
So this doesn't make sense, because if Roger's entire goal is to have this appeal where he can put the system on trial, he shouldn't want a pardon. Because if he gets a pardon, he can't appeal the
guilty
verdict.
He won't be able to prove that they have corrupted.
Right.
Yeah.
So if his entire angle is like, they want to kill me before I can have my appeal, like, he should also be like, Trump, don't pardon me.
No. Don't you remember pardon?
Don't pardon me, because I'm going to flip the script and destroy the entire system and the globalist fraud.
No. A pardon proves you're innocent. Just like when Ford pardoned Nixon, everybody was like, Well, I guess we were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. It kind of proves to me that he wouldn't be able to appeal this case successfully, the
absolutely
things that he not wants. But it would be really good for him if he is given the pardon, because then he can say, if he hadn't pardoned me, I would have appealed this and I would have won. We would have taken to the Supreme Court. Yeah, so it's brilliant. It works on every front. Ugh. As long as Trump follows through and gives him the pardon.
Yeah, for sure.
Without the pardon, all of this falls apart immediately. Because here's what happens. Roger goes to prison. He doesn't get COVID-19.
Nope.
He survives.
Yep.
He maybe does that appeal, or maybe he just is like, ah, fuck it, who cares?
Fair.
Maybe he does the appeal, and then he loses that appeal.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And then everyone ends up running out of excuses.
Now, I'll take it to the Supreme Court.
Great.
Yeah.
So Alex has this whole thing where he's like, you know what Trump needs to do? He needs to stop running from you, and he needs to pardon you, and then he needs to make you his campaign manager.
God, that would be the biggest story in history.
Yeah. Roger is not interested. He says, I don't want a job in Trump's campaign like that. But he also disagrees with Alex on another point.
How beautiful if you got clemency next week or a pardon, and then instead of running from you, Trump brought you in as a spokesperson or brought you in as an advisor.
The president has never run from me. Look at his history of tweets.
No.
Is he pardoning
you
right
now? Saying. He said, Roger, nothing wrong. Roger has nothing to worry about. Roger's been, I'm saying, I'm saying, pardon you and then just bring you in front and center in press conferences. That would be so powerful.
It would be something.
That is real delusional shit right there. That's insane.
But I do like he needs to stop running from you. He's never run from me. All right, guys.
He's walked very slowly away. I don't know if he can run.
Probably not.
I don't think so.
No. So they get to talking about how Roger will never kill himself. And
that's
Alex.
Bad?
Alex insists on Roger saying that he's never going to kill himself in a way that makes me think Alex is preparing or hoping that Roger dies.
Yeah.
And then he can play this clip of Roger saying he'll never kill himself in order to say it was the Clintons.
Their friendship
or something
is so deep.
It's very meaningful.
It's so deep.
Yeah.
There's no circumstance whatsoever in which I will ever betray this president. I have great affection for him and for his family.
And you'll never commit suicide. Say it. You'll never commit suicide.
No, if they ever tell you Stone killed himself, you will know that somehow the Clintons are involved. I will never do that.
Epstein didn't kill himself.
it is prohibited. I would never, under any circumstances, do that. So if they come back to you and tell you, oh, he was despondent, he killed himself, that will never happen.
Let's get the statement clear without me interrupting, because number one, you're a fighter. You crave the fight. You don't look for it. Say a statement. Roger Stone, will you kill yourself in prison if they lock you up as a political prisoner?
Alex, there's no circumstances under which I will do that.
Hey, Roger, we need a clean take of this for the sizzle reel after your death.
Yeah,
so we can make money out of it.
He said he would never kill himself. So obviously, when we play this clip after his death, there you go. Proof.
So Roger gets into talking about his spirituality, and he tells the story of coming to God, and I'm not going to play it because I don't want to make fun of it on the off chance that it is sincere on some level.
It's not. Probably, and I don't care.
Probably not, but at the same time, I feel ugly or gross.
Even if it was sincere.
Hey, look, whatever.
I understand. No, I'm not trying to cut you off. Yeah.
I feel like the way in which he tells the story of going to a Franklin Graham service and there's enough people who probably have similar experiences that making fun of it would kind of feel like I'm making fun of other people's religious experience.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean to do is make fun of Roger Stone.
Sure.
And so I'll just leave that aside.
Right.
That being said, in the conversation of him talking about his spirituality, Roger accidentally says that he prays to Trump.
Sure. Great. So
fun.
His spirituality is meaningless.
God will protect me. I believe that at the end of the day, justice will be done in my case. I am praying to this president. I'm praying, more importantly, to God to protect me, because I know he will.
I would say the praying to God is more important than praying to Trump.
Thou shalt bear no idols but Trump. Uh-huh. That was part of the Ten Commandments.
Sure.
Moses was fucking on it.
I mean, I know he misspoke, but still, he did say he's praying to Trump.
Yeah.
Anyway, Roger goes. He doesn't have much time. He's just making a little quick stop in to beg Trump in the best way possible from his position to get a pardon. Now Alex gets down. He's like, I should probably do my job. I really probably should.
Ugh.
I should probably do my job.
He should quit.
But I can't. I can't because there's too much news.
God damn it.
I have 1,000 ways to start this segment.
Pick one.
Incredible articles, videos. We haven't
pick
even
one.
That are super entertaining and interesting. I probably won't get to any of it because the
you
core
pick
issues
one.
Are what matters and the understanding of that. So I've told the story probably 3,000 times. I say I started a lot of the shows with this. 26 years ago on radio and TV, I might have never said the first few years, this is the biggest show I ever did. And then about 15 years ago, maybe once a year, I'd say biggest show ever. And then as time goes on, it's like every month and then every week and then every day. It's the quickening. It's the compounding.
Well, that's just because now you think Sacha Baron Cohen is the biggest story
it's
you've covered in your career.
Story in history.
He false flagged.
He false flagged.
Right.
An innocent group of Nazis who just wanted to have a good time.
Sure.
Rally and not reveal that they're massive racist fascists.
I would argue that Alex would have a lot more time for actual stories if he didn't talk about how he can't get to all the stories because there's so many stories.
Well,
it's like, I can't even stress to you. I know I play clips that are fairly similar to that a bit.
Oh, yeah.
I don't play nearly all the times he says that. He says that. He spends a lot of time talking about how he has no time.
He's got
a
break. Yeah. He's got a break.
It reminds me of this comedian, Ron Ramey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever knew him.
I never knew him, no.
He was a guy out of St. Louis. I only ever saw him when I was in Missouri. But he had this great bit that he would do that would just be constantly talking about how he's got to go.
Yeah.
I got to go. I always loved that. It's funny for him.
Yeah.
Not funny for Alex.
He's good at it.
Yeah, Alex is just filling time, talking about how he's not filling time. There's so many stories. And then he just starts rambling. Look, dude, okay.
I can see your frustration.
Alex plays some videos and talks about people getting beat up because they submit. They apologize and then they get hit or something. So look, the globalists will never actually pick a fight with Alex because they know that he'll kill them if they do. And then Alex starts talking about eating people, sort of.
Okay.
We know that he's talked about cannibalism a bit in the past.
10 days.
This is close. He talks about how some of his fighting style might be Holyfield-esque.
Okay.
Or not Holyfield, Tyson, excuse
he's
me.
He's an ear biter.
Well, he's a biter.
Okay.
Because they know I'm not bluffing. I'm ready to kill people. And they might win, but they're going to fight somebody that is going to hurt them really bad. Because I kick like a mule and I bite like a crocodile. And I'd bite people, too. You get me down, I start biting big-ass chunks out of you. See how you like that? Big chunks. See, most people have a governor where they can't chomp down. I've bitten chunks out of people, had me down the size of 2 ounces of meat. You don't think the biggest, roughest guy gets off my back when I'm on the ground, when I chomp into his leg? I've done it many times. I'll bite right through your jeans. I'll tear a big ass bloody wad out of your leg because I'm not dead and I'm not bowing down and I got the spirit of life in me and I'm spreading it.
Okay. All right, man.
I just think back to all the times that he's proven himself to be an honorable and chivalrous man.
Uh-huh.
And he cares very much about observing. No, he's a biter.
Yeah.
Great.
Hey, man, look, we get into a fight. I will bite your flesh off.
I will bite you. I will bite you.
Other people don't have they have a governor and they won't allow themselves to bite through your jeans.
All right, Alex, I will do this right now. I challenge you to a bite off.
I honestly would love to watch him try to chew through some jeans. I know that he's probably speaking with a little bit of a flourish.
Sure.
But I still do want to watch him try and eat a pair of Levi 501s.
I wonder if we could get Sacha Baron Cohen to trick him into doing that.
Alex, you must eat these jeans.
Eat these pants. Eat your own pants. You haven't watched Gravity Falls either.
I have not.
Ah, such a good show.
So we've been seeing in the present day a bit of Alex embellishing and making up stories about the German foster children story.
Sure.
And he talks a little bit more about another story that involves pedophilia in Germany in this next clip. And once again, he is making up a story.
All right, I'm going to settle down, but we have this galactic level 30,000 pedophiles in the German government, mainstream news, all exposed. Their cult is inches from being destroyed. Praise God. We'll be right back.
So if you go to Deutsche Welle, you'll find the underlying article that Alex is making stuff up about. Mm-hmm. And it's not too difficult to find. This is about an arrest of a 27-year-old soldier back in October 2019, which has led to a much deeper investigation into things like internet sharing of illegal pornographic materials. The bottom line of this story is that German authorities have announced that they're following up on 30,000 leads in this investigation, not that 30,000 suspects have been identified. In fact, the actual article specifies that at this point, approximately 70 suspects have been identified. There's no indication that all or any of these people are in the German government. This is very important to understand. Alex doesn't care about this story at all. Mm-mm. Crimes against children are a very emotionally charged subject, so he knows that most of the time his audience is never going to look into any of this to see what the real story is. He knows that he can push people's buttons by talking about real stories, taking these real stories about horrific crimes, and then making up whatever he wants about them, because the furthest most people will get is the headline, which then they'll just take as the confirmation of whatever story Alex has told them about this. It's fucking disgraceful. It's awful, and he rambles about this quite a bit. And so he starts talking about how, like, you know, this story launches him into all of his enemies are pedophiles.
Sure.
And as we heard on the previous episode, like I told you to keep in your mind, half of Democrats are in this category. And
these people need killing, don't they? And they will. But if we go off half-cocked, they'll be the victim and get away with it. We have to walk softly, carry a big stick, be as wise as a serpent, peaceful as a dove, until God delivers judgment. And you'll know when that moment is, and we will be the implements of the judgment. God's hand picks us up like the dagger and thrusts it into the enemy's throat. But we do not direct it. And you'll know. You'll know the time. And when the time comes, it's important not to torture these people. You dispatch them like you dispatch a rattlesnake. I hate to put down a rattlesnake or a cockroach. You step on them. And you move on. But they will die.
This is getting to be a very weird place for me doing this show. Because I feel like the trends that I've been watching over the past couple weeks have been like a real increase in this this like direct talk about violence, about how God's vengeance needs to be enacted on Alex's enemies, and also mixing in how God's vengeance is carried out by you, and you'll know when the right time is. I feel like this is happening a lot more regularly. It seems to be ramping up. It seems to be, like, as far as I can tell, we're not looking at calmer waters in the future. Mm-hmm. As COVID cases increase, the potential for more lockdowns increases. Mm-hmm. The election is coming up. Mm-hmm. The water seems choppy, and the rhetoric that Alex is leaning more heavily into seems incredibly dangerous. Now, I don't know what you can do about that. I don't know if this is illegal. I don't know. I know it's irresponsible, but I don't know what I can do other than do this show and say, here is what he's saying.
Yeah.
If tomorrow there is a shooting of someone who's like one of Alex's enemies and it's a listener of his show, don't be too surprised.
Yeah, no.
Not that's saying that is going to happen, because there's a decent chance he's screaming into the void.
Sure.
And he's yelling this violent nonsense at people who just want to take brain force or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, like, there might be an impotence to the people listening that nothing will ever come of this.
Yeah.
But on the off chance that something does happen, here's this.
I don't know. I think that one is pretty much clear cut incitement of violence. I don't think there's any more, like, that's not protected by free speech.
Mm-hmm.
That could be sent to a judge.
I think,
like,
it's
that's
probably
the real situation.
No, but I think it probably is still on the right side of things in terms of, like, the Supreme Court understandings of what is protected, because it's not specific. I think that is where the territory gets. Like, that's when somebody will get in trouble.
I mean, it's not specific, it's general.
Yep.
To the point of being specific. He's saying Democrats, 50% of which he's saying that they're all, and they should be murdered.
Well,
no,
I mean,
I think that's where
the confusion is. I think
I
it's
know.
Still
Whatever
is that Brandenburg versus Ohio, I think is still, like, I think he's still protected by it. But that's why it's really difficult for me. Like, we're getting to a point where like the cases are going up of COVID in Texas and in Austin, and Alex is doing these fucking anti-mask rallies.
Yeah.
At a certain point, you're like looking at this and you're like, okay, how do you discuss this without being like, well, he's imperiling public health in a way that's petulant and pointless. He's doing this whole thing about like killing your enemies and God will tell you when it's time.
Yeah.
Like, okay, let's see what happens with this.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do other than just like, I will play this for you and we will see what happens.
If that is not illegal, it should be. Whatever the law says, fuck you. That's illegal. That should be.
Should be some sort of illegal ramification for like, I mean, I guess it so much of it is consequence driven. So, yeah. Like, if somebody does carry something out, then maybe somebody can sue Alex. Yeah, but it's just it's.
I propose we give him a fantastic trip on a private spaceship, and he can go into space.
You'd love that.
Yeah, I think that would be a great way to deal with that.
Mm.
He cannot come back.
So one of my driving points with this that I'm trying to get at is like it's getting consistent and it's getting excessive.
You know, God is the will of the universe. God is consciousness. God is the Almighty. And so vengeance is God's. But how does God deliver vengeance? Well, God delivers vengeance through us. But you got to be real careful that you're actually following God's plan, and you'll know when it's time for vengeance. But if you won't engage in information warfare vengeance, then when it comes time, if ever, to execute violence, you will falter. You will waver. In fact, you won't even show up.
Isn't what Sacha Baron Cohen did information war?
Yeah.
Like, and Alex has just been like, hey, if you won't promote my website now, you'll never murder.
Yeah, exactly.
What?
Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, this is just deeply upsetting. It's disturbing.
Yeah,
it's,
I'm really not stoked about this.
No, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, like anxiety. Like I told you, my anxiety has been off the charts today. And that one, ooh, I'm going to give you 10 stars. Uh-huh. 10 stars for that one.
Tomorrow he'll probably be just like, I don't know, why don't I get a fart machine?
Yeah, I know.
Like something right. Like, you just look at it, why are you doing this?
Go back to pulling computer chips out of people.
Or talking about doing it.
Yeah.
So this whole time, this whole episode, he's been talking about how he has a gigantic story, and he's not really gotten to it because he got distracted by Roger,
sure.
And then yelling about murdering his enemies.
Right.
And so he finally gets to it, and it's just a load of bullshit.
State of Texas confirms that the feds have ordered them to falsify COVID-19 numbers at least 15 times what they actually are. For every person with COVID, they add 15 more people. That's the minimum. They talk about adding 36 people.
So it took a while to figure out what the hell Alex was talking about here, because the only article he has up about this on InfoWars website, it's just a video with no links or citations or anything. And I generally find that actually watching Alex's special reports, I don't find that very helpful in terms of figuring out where information is coming from. But I had no other option here, so I watched the video, and it's pretty clear immediately what's going on. It appears that someone at InfoWars got sent a video from a May 18th county commissioner meeting from Collin County, which is in Texas. The conversation that they were having was about an amended definition of, quote, probable cases of COVID-19. They're discussing what this new definition was. This has nothing to do with confirmed case numbers. It's just about probable cases. It's clear if you watch this video, what happened is that they decided that if you test positive using an FDA-approved lab test and have been in close proximity with people who have tested positive, you're considered a probable case, even if you had no symptoms. This is in juxtaposition with the definition of a confirmed case, which requires a specific PCR test to come back positive. The probable definition includes people who have tested positive using other approved tests. In the slideshow they put on, the county commissioners discuss how this changing of definition could lead to one person who's tested positive being a confirmed case, which is to say that they have a positive PCR test, infecting 15 other probable cases. Alex is trying to pretend that this is a situation where they're saying that for every one person who tests positive, they just count it as 16, but that's definitely not proven by the evidence he's provided. Alex is trying to claim that this is somehow related to the spike of cases in Texas, but that just doesn't make sense. Texas's case numbers jumped drastically on June 16th, but this meeting is from a month prior. Also, there are less than 3,000 COVID-19 cases in Collin County, where this definition was adopted, which is way below places like Harris County, with over 30,000 cases, or even Travis County, which is where Austin is, which has over almost 10,000, excuse me. This is not the smoking gun, Alex thinks it is, but he's like, this will bring everyone down, silver bullet. It's lame.
Yeah.
But not nearly as lame, Jordan, as this next thing. And this is where we're going to get some good feelings back.
Okay, okay.
Alex tries to have a bombshell guest on.
Oh, no.
And this guest is that lady who yelled at the city council meeting in Florida.
Oh, God. No.
Alex wants...
We got Parks and Rec lady.
Yep.
That's what we're doing. We're doing Parks and Rec lady.
Alex wants to have this person on because they're all over social media.
Got a little juice.
Exactly.
Gotta steal that juice.
How big would it be if we get that woman on the show?
Not!
It does not go well.
Sure.
What do you make of it coming out that they're counting people that died of other things as COVID? That there are that the NIH is ordering states to say that just anybody they think might have it is a case? I mean, this is just incredible fraud, and they're not getting in trouble for it. They're just doubling down.
I'm sorry. Say that again. Hello?
It's okay. It's all right. You can't hear me, can you, over the audio? The phone callers can't ever hear me. It's an ongoing deal. I probably should stop doing the show. I appreciate you joining us. Thank you. All right. That's it for that interview. Thank you. We're done. Appreciate it. Certain point, I got to get about give up. I'll just go to rebroadcast. Damn. Man, I tell you, it's hard.
That's unreal.
That's so crazy. You could tell that she's still on the line.
Oh,
she just
didn't understand the question as asked. She just doesn't understand.
When she said hello, it was because the long pause after she asked for clarification.
Yep.
This is a completely normal conversation. And I know exactly what happened there. Alex is faking that. That is entirely fake. Because there was a really bad energy between the two of them. Like, she was not giving what Alex wanted out of the interview. It was like stop and start. There wasn't a cohesion to it. She wasn't yes-anding with him. And so he wanted to dump the interview.
Yeah.
So you pretend there's tech difficulties there, do this whole like, I should stop doing the show.
God damn it. It's a scalar attack.
Like a little baby. He's just like, this doesn't even. And you know what? This would be the easiest fucking problem to solve. You have millions of dollars. You have a gigantic, awesome, state-of-the-art studio. Fix your fucking phone lines, you dick.
No, then somebody would have to, they would have to try and hire somebody competent.
You can't have years of complaining about these phone lines. If it's an intrinsic part of your show where you take calls, cover your damn bases, man.
Hey, old man house phone doesn't have any troubles.
It's pathetic. This leads to Alex having a very weird vibe for the rest of this show.
Of course.
He is not in a good headspace.
Of course not.
He starts reading headlines because he's just like, all right, can't take calls then. Gotta just read headlines. So he starts reading headlines, and he clearly hasn't read these headlines before he got on air. He gets very confused by this headline.
Meanwhile, Antifa, Kurds clash with fascist Muslim Turkish nationalists in Austrian streets.
So
turns out Soros is even funding Antifa overseas. But let's go ahead and go to some of these clips.
Alex, do you know where you should land on this?
Man. Oh, man.
That pause God there was damn. Like, should do, boy.
Okay.
Am I for Antifa Kurds or ultra-nationalist Muslim Turkish groups?
Austria.
What am I doing?
Is Austria Germany but small? What is Austria?
Guys, I got to be honest. I read that sentence. I don't know who I support.
Okay. So first off, I'm going to need...
I'm supposed to be against Antifa Kurds, right?
Okay. You're going to have to stop right there.
So now I'm on the side of fascist, ultra-nationalist, neo-Nazi Turkish Muslims.
I'm still confused as where this is happening.
God damn it.
Start over. Is this a United States story?
Shit!
Okay. All right.
Play a clip.
Let's do it. Okay. I'm going to go with genociders. That's right. I'm on genocide.
He goes to let's play a clip. So he struggles with like needing attention because he thinks that this story about the Collin County commissioner meeting is somehow going to be like the biggest story in the world.
Of course.
And so he's like, if I could just, you know, do a publicity stunt big enough, maybe we could stop a globalist. How about I buy a blender?
If I thought putting a blender on my desk and turning it on high and sticking my fingers in it and chopping them off would defeat the globalist, I would stick my hand in a blender right now.
Do
it. I'm a sadomasochist. I don't like pain. I'm saying I want to beat these people. And there's nothing more frustrating than sitting here knowing we have them by the balls.
You don't. How awesome would it be, though, if you got a blender, put his finger in there, and then he's like, and then a microchip popped out.
He's been controlled by the globalists this whole time.
No, no. And then Alex stands up, takes a bow.
And the end of his show.
Thank you all. It's been wonderful.
He's just out of there.
Yeah, that would be great. So he gets really introspective, like realizing, like, if I just fucking put my fingers in a blender, maybe it would drive enough attention to the show that I could get this story out. But that's not obviously going to work. What would work is if I were able to convince other people to cover this story, which obviously I can't because everyone knows I do bad work.
Right.
And they're not going to like cover a scoop that I got.
And then I had to send messages. I sent probably 50 messages out on text message to prominent talk show host and prominent journalists saying, listen, I don't need the credit. Will you please just do an article about this? And here's the raw video. And a few of them did it and didn't give us credit, which I don't want. But the weird mental illness that if we break something big that's confirmed, no one else will touch it just out of some weird. It's a spirit of failure. Humanity is a rotting, maggot-covered corpse.
Humanity is a maggot-covered corpse because other people recognize that he does bad work, and if he says something is confirmed, it probably isn't, and that's all that's going on here.
At a certain point.
Basically, it's like, hey, Tucker is not going to do a segment about this, and I'm mad. That's basically it.
Yeah. Yep. If the entirety of media is like, no, we can't touch you, he still can't for 1 second think, maybe this is my fault.
Yeah, when you can't get even like fringe weirdos who would welcome that like plandemic people
Tucker
on their
Carlson
show.
Tucker would have Parks and Rec lady. He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah. If they'll do that and they're like, yeah, your stories suck, Alex, you got to recognize it. It's not them, it's you.
Yeah. Sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we got one last clip here from the 30th, and it's Alex... I don't know. I kept this in for a little bit of Schadenfreude, but it's this thing where I just think that Alex can't even remember the people he's supposed to be mad at's names.
I literally sent out a message to over 50 prominent people, and 6 of them retweeted us, and the others all pissed down their legs to Jack Dorsey and to Facebook's leader and to the leader of Google and the leader of Apple and just him. It's just like, it's an obscene thing.
I really think that he couldn't come up with those names.
Yeah, no, he couldn't think of who Mark Zuckerberg was.
Yeah, or Tim Cook or Sundar Pichai, like all of these normal villains for him. I think he exerted his memory banks with Jack Dorsey and
he's
he just couldn't.
Not well. He's not well. He's not a well human being.
But I would argue that it's not even... on wellness, I think it's like that kind of is an indication that he doesn't really give a shit about these things that he yells about all the time. Because if you're immersed in these waters, those names are going to be on the tip of your tongue at all times.
You would think.
Yes. I mean, I can come up with 100 different people who are involved in InfoWars because I dwell
I'm
in this.
Immersed in that. Yes.
Yeah. It's the topic of my expertise. It's
you
what
were
I,
born in the dark.
Exactly. And so, like, it doesn't take me long to remember the name Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Gerald Salenti, I can come up with at the drop of a hat. Webster Tarpley. We haven't talked about Webster Tarpley in forever, but I can tell you all about it.
Right now.
Exactly.
Pop it out.
So, I just think this is an indication of, like, it's all surface. Everything is surface. And that's interesting to me, because what's under the surface is the stuff about God's vengeance being acted out by people like him and mm-hmm. his listeners. You're the knife in God's hands. Mm-hmm. And that's terrifying because that he can pull out whenever.
Yep.
So Jesus. There's this interesting duality that's going on in that I think his show is pathetic. And most of the time he's yelling about stuff that's trivial and nonsensical, like Sacha Baron Cohen pranked his friends and he thinks it's a crime.
Yeah.
That is silly and stupid. At the same time, there's this growing trend that's just continuing very, very explicitly of God will tell you when it's time to murder and God's vengeance belongs upon people like Fauci and all of our enemies. And you are instruments of God's vengeance. And that's just an unacceptable kind of rhetoric.
Yeah. I mean, there's history has often been driven by the silly and stupid. When it's revealed that they're silly and stupid, they start killing people.
I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hate this sort of space because there's a feeling of like, I don't even know how to put my finger on what I'm trying to say, but like, there's a feeling of how much am I buying into Alex's bullshit? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Like I can't tell how much of this is real.
Right.
All I can do is tell you he has a show.
Yeah.
He's saying that.
Yeah.
If you understand it in the context of what his show is, this is giving his audience tacit permission to murder people as long as they believe that God has told them it's the right time.
Right.
So, like, yeah, hey, and I mean, I know I said earlier, like, a little bit of a caveat of, like, hey, maybe nothing's going to happen from this. Mm-hmm. Maybe something is. And the point that I guess I'm trying to stress is that uncertainty is not okay in and of itself.
Yeah. I mean, I would... Generally, I'm not worried about a large scale.
Mm-mm.
Because I would bet my life on the vast majority of these people being useless cowards. But I am worried about the individuals because that is who is going to do damage to people. That's the situation there. So that kind of stuff is in the wrong ear, a death sentence for someone.
Well, and I would even, I would even suggest if you take the, like,
for a stranger.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Even if you take that sort of extreme result out of it, living in that space is really bad. Like having an audience where you think it's okay to tell them that maybe you'll have to kill a globalist and God will tell you when it's time to do that. If you are a listener and you believe Alex and you listen to this stuff, like, that is gotta be, even if you never follow through with it, that's a fucking really weird thing for some angry liar in Texas to put on you.
Right.
It's really weird. It's an abusive state to be in.
It is, but that's because he has created a cult. Essentially, if you're still on board with Alex at this point, you believe anything and everything.
It seems like it.
Like, there's nothing that can stop you.
I mean, one day you believe that, Alex's deep research has led him to believe that the globalists maybe wanted Trump in order to get a better position with China.
Sure.
And then the next day you believe that Trump is a champion hero against the globalists, and it's important for him to pardon Roger Stone so he's able to get him back in office in 2020 against the globalists.
Sure.
It's all fucking stupid.
Hey, 2 months ago, it's over for humanity. Today, everything is a hoax.
Right.
2 months from now, when cases and deaths are out of control, it's over for humanity again.
Well,
doesn't fucking matter.
We will see. It's very tough. But I'll say this. Alex did say that he's going to be out of studio at the end of the week.
Okay.
And so I am a little bit fed up with him. Friday, we're going to do something different.
Good.
I'm not sure what it is. We're going to put Alex on the back burner because I'm sick of his bullshit.
Yeah.
And he's getting out of pocket a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
I don't want to live in a space where every 2 days we record an episode where all I hear is, it's okay to murder people.
Yeah. And God will tell you when it's time.
Yeah. And also, since I'm your cult leader, I'm kind of your God at the same time. And I'm saying it's okay. And you kind of get what I'm saying. And you know who it is saying it.
Mm. Very irresponsible.
Yeah.
But we'll be back. Until then, Jordan, though, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We are also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at @knowledge_fight and @GoToBedJordan.
Yep. We are also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. And if you'd like to download the show, go to iTunes, rate, leave reviews. And if you could, please find a local charity or bail fund in your area to help out in any way you can.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Roger Stone's perfect cellmate.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.